Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you with us this morning worshiping. And if you are watching online with us this morning, we are glad to have you tuning in to our service. And we are just praying for everyone. And we just, the ones that that aren't able to come, we miss you guys. And the ones that are here, we're glad to have you here. I'd like to also like to welcome you if you're a guest this morning. A few announcements going into the week. Like I said, things are starting to get back in the swing of getting a little bit busy here and there. So if you'll remember Wednesday night Bible study, and then Thursday is the men's work day. Now there's an announcement for today, and I saved it for last for a reason. So it'd be fresh on your brain, because if you're like me, I can't keep 1 second free from the last. But immediately after church today, we're going to have a short business meeting. So if you can stick around for that, about some important business we got to take care of. Other than that, there are no other announcements. And I'm just so glad to have you with us today, and I look forward to worshiping with you.
Would you stand and sing with us together, "To God Be the Glory"? And there is no one but God we can give all the glory to. Page 4, would you stand?
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Fill the reach of world, and He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
Second verse without the words up there. So thank you.
Hang on, Sandra. It doesn't happen very often, but I get to say this, and I mean it with my whole heart. That was her fault, because she said verse 3 when she sent us the what words to put up there. So guys, good job. You did what you were told. She just forgot what she told. You know, it is good to laugh and enjoy ourselves, especially in the house of the Lord, and especially in this time that we're in right now. I'm going to tell you, every day we get told something different. Our country is in a confusing state right now. We are messed up. But you know what? We get together here today to worship the one that can fix it all. People, come November, we have an election. The election's not going to fix the problems we have. Regardless of who we put in the office, they're not the answer. The police force, no matter how important they are to our safety, and I am so thankful that they are willing to go out and put their lives on the line every day, because every time they stop somebody, they don't know what they're going to deal with. They're not the answer. Scientists, doctors, they are not the answer. The only answer we have is Jesus Christ. He is the author of creation and the way of salvation. He is the one that can mend lives, put broken hearts back together, and heal by just touching the hem of his garment. There is nobody walking the earth today that can do that. So as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, as we gather together, please remember to continue to pray for those that are being affected by this virus. Pray for those that are dealing with these things on the front line. Pray for our teachers and our administrators and our school systems, because they're being told something different every day. They still don't know what they're going to teach, how they're going to teach it come the 17th. But they're being faithful. Pray for parents that have decisions to make. Be with those that are in businesses that are being affected by this virus. And please continue to pray for our church. I am so grateful that we have stayed committed. And I'm thankful for those of you that are here this morning. And I'm thankful for the ones that are watching online. Don't know if you know it, but we are reaching people all over this country that are watching our services online. And I am so thankful for that and the ability to do that. But most of all, I'm thankful for the saving love of Jesus Christ. Remember to pray for Donna Stowe as she is mourning the loss of her sister. Also, remember to pray for Scott Wicker as he is continuing to recover from pneumonia. And continue to pray for the term bills as they are getting over this virus. And continue to pray for my parents as they are dealing with different things. My dad's blood pressure is going up and down, so continue to pray for them as well. And pray for all the college students that will be coming back to Gardner-Webb and all the other colleges for this upcoming year. And pray for all those teachers and professors as well. So please, at this time, please, yes, ma'am. Okay, you got a what now?
Job change.
A job change. Lisa's got a job change coming up. Okay. And then also continue to pray for Kim Pendleton as well. Don't want to forget to pray for her and Jerry and Alex. Okay, does anybody else have anything that we need to pray about before we? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you. Dear Lord, like I said, you are the author of creation, and you are the source of our salvation. Dear Lord, you walked among us. You know what it's like to live here. You know what it's like to face hatred. And dear Lord, we are so confused. The only thing that we can trust in is you, because we get told different things. No matter which way we turn, something is different. But dear Lord, you are the rock. You are the one that we have as our foundation, and you never change. Dear Lord, we ask you to guide us, direct us, give us insight into what is true and what's not. And dear Lord, I just ask you to work in our lives. Allow us to be an agent of change in our society, that we will show people the truth, not only in what we say, but how we live, and that we will speak with the love of Christ. And dear Lord, when we're faced with adversity, that we will stand strong and we will show the love that you have for us. That we will be able to love those who stand against us. Dear Lord, that we will trust in you to give us the strength and power to do all the things that you have called us to do. Dear Lord, you have heard the requests that have been made. Job changes, grief, sickness, decisions that need to be made. Dear Lord, we trust in you to lead our steps and our thoughts so that we may make wise decisions, that we will feel your comforting power, that we will feel your presence, dear Lord, and that we will have the peace that we cannot explain. Dear Lord, as we gather together today, I ask you that your spirit move among your people, that you open our hearts and our eyes, that just for this short hour, that you take away all the distractions that we deal with on a daily basis, so that we may fully concentrate on you, and that we may be able to glorify you and sing your praises. And when we leave this place, that we will know that we have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for all those that are here and watching online. May your name be glorified through it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
All right, guys. So this morning, if you're at home, I want you to draw your kids in close. And if you're an adult, I want you to come in close too, because what I decided to talk about this morning was something that's not just an issue with kids or something that kids have to deal with. It's something that we all have to deal with. And I want to talk about rules this morning. Who in here doesn't like rules? Faith doesn't like rules. John doesn't like rules. And we all know Michaela doesn't like rules. She's the biggest kid back there in the barter section. But Sandra don't like rules. Rules are tough. Unless you're the one giving rules. But rules are given for a reason. I want you to think about something. Everybody, just kids. So one of my rules that it's not often always followed, I try to push it, and they don't listen, is do not run in the church building. All right, so if I didn't have that rule, and I said, you go through the church building and be all willy-nilly and run and bounce and act like gazelles if you want to, what would happen? It'd be chaos. Somebody would get knocked down. I mean, there would be like a barter pileup somewhere. Like I see Jimbo and Henry now just like crashing into each other and then causing a big barter pileup, you know. What about don't talk while the preacher's talking or while adults are talking? What if we just all decided to have our own conversation today when Artie got up here and decided to preach? Don't do that, by the way. He'll blame it on me. that wouldn't be good, right? But rules were given to us for a reason. And God gave us rules. And God gave us 10 commandments. And we can't, actually, God gave Adam and Eve one rule, and they couldn't follow that one rule. So it led to a life where God gave us lots of rules, and He gave us 10 basic rules to live by. And these have been reworded so kids can understand them. But the rules are: don't worship any other gods, don't make anything in your life more important than God, don't use God's name in a bad way, take one day a week to rest, obey your parents, don't kill, be faithful to your family, don't steal, don't lie, and don't be greedy. These are rules that God put in place, and there are plenty other rules, but He put these rules in place as basic rules to help us all get along, to help us love each other, and to do what's right. In the world we live in, there are new rules coming up every day, and we don't like them, but the fact is, whether it's at church or in kids group or youth group, we need to be sure we're following our rules. Because if we're not following the rules that God put in front of us, it's really bad, right? But if God puts somebody in charge of us and we decide not to follow their rules, it's just like disobeying God's rules. So even though we don't like rules, as an adult, we don't like rules, and as a kid, we don't like rules. I want to encourage you to follow God's rules and follow the rules of people who God has put in front of us to lead. And that scripture, I won't read the whole Ten Commandments scripture, but that scripture was this morning out of Exodus. But what I want you to know out of this is God gives us rules for a reason, and those rules help us be happy and successful and to share love to other people. So just remember that God puts rules in front of you for a reason. You guys have a good day.
I was asked one day how I chose what the choir was going to sing each week. So I always ask God to lay a song on my heart. And so some of us were talking this week how you get a song. You wake up with a song in your head or on your heart, and you just feel that song all day long. So God lays songs on my heart. But then comes Sunday morning, and I might start doubting myself or questioning myself. Is this the song that we should do? So I couldn't find the music this morning. So I'm thinking, okay, are we to do that song? And then someone said, maybe God's telling you we're not supposed to do that song. So I'm really doubting myself. Well, Sharon came in early, and she was listening to her daughter's worship service. And so the worship leader read some scripture, and I would like to read that scripture to you. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, Psalms 46, but I'm going to read part of this chapter. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and form and the mountains quake with their surging. God is within her. She will not fall, and God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, but the Lord Almighty is with us. Come and see the works of the Lord. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. And then, right at the beginning of that chapter, it says, for the director of music. I knew God wanted us to hear this song.
Thank you, choir, for that. As you can see by the screen, the title of the sermon today is The Conditions for Victory. I want us to talk about that for a second. When we as humans talk about victory, we talk about winning. And when we talk about the conditions for winning, we talk about sports. And when we think about the conditions for victory in sports, we usually think that it's got to be the best, the strongest, the fastest team that wins. But according to statistics, that's not always the case. Has the better team lost before?
Yes.
They have. And in fact, some of the best movies, sports movies, have been about the underdog, the ones that should not have won, they won. You guys remember the Lake Placid Olympics? The Winter Olympics that was held in Lake Placid? Who was the dominant hockey team of that era? The Russians. They just weren't dominant. They demolished everybody. Until a bunch of college students got together and became the U.S. hockey team. The first time they played the Russians, what happened? You guys remember? Doyne, you probably remember, don't you?
I think they
got smashed. They got beat. But they have made a movie out of that, and that movie is called Miracle. Because in the final, the gold medal game of the Olympics, guess what happened? Those team of college students went up against these professional hockey players from Russia, and they won. So we don't have the conditions of victory totally figured out in our society. We don't know all the time who's going to win and who's going to lose. There is also a movie called The Replacements about when the NFL teams went on strike and they pulled a bunch of scrub players together to play. And the last game of the strike, they were actually playing a team. The entire team crossed the lines and they were playing the real team. And they were getting beat at halftime. And the reporter asked the coach, what's it going to take for these guys to come back and win this game? And he just pointed at his chest and he said, hearts. Heart. Loads and loads of heart, and walked off. A lot of time, that's what it takes. But I want us to look at Scripture and see what God says conditions or victory are about. Because we as Christians and God measure victory a lot different than the world does. So if you'll turn to Joshua chapter 1, I want to look at a few verses. I want to look at verses 6 through 9 in Joshua chapter 1 and give you a little background. Children of Israel, they have been released from slavery. They have gone through 48 years of exile and wandering around the desert. Moses has died on the verge of coming into the promised land. And Joshua is the new leader of the children of Israel. And as they are standing there looking at the promised land, God says something to Joshua. And Joshua conveys that thought to the children of Israel. So I want us to look at that. And if you would turn to your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and if you'd stand as I read this, we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. And this is what it says starting in verse 6. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give the people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for what we see in your word. Thank you for the example of Joshua and being strong and courageous. Dear Lord, help us to do the same, that we will know what it means to have victory. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to look at the conditions for victory. So the first condition, condition number one, is to be strong and courageous. Look at this. In this passage, he says it three times in those verses that we read. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And that time, there's an exclamation point on it. Now, I was told in school that if the professor said something three times, we better pay attention to it. Scripture's the same way. God doesn't repeat something unless it's important. And he repeated this three times in these short passages, just these few verses. So do you think that it's important? Yes. Why is it so important? This bold courage would not be in Joshua himself. It's not in ourselves. We do not take courage from our own strength. We cannot be strong in ourselves. But just in the case of Joshua, it's in God. We can be full of self-confidence, but this command exposes our weakness, as it did Joshua's. Regardless of how we try to work or how hard we try to accomplish something, we will always fail in our own strength. And when we start failing, what happens to our courage? It starts going out the window also. We start thinking in our head, in our mind, well, I've tried this and failed, so there's no point in trying it again because I'm going to have the same result. So we start backing off. Here Joshua is, brand new leader, and he's looking. And you guys know, once they cross the river into the promised land, what's the first thing they come to? What's the first big hurdle after they cross that river? Well, that river was a hurdle to get across it at flood stage. But once they got over into the promised land, what was there waiting for them? There was a big, tall city. What was it called? Jericho. The walls of Jericho. And did they shy away from the walls of Jericho? No. Can you imagine what they must have thought when God told them his plan on how they were going to beat Jericho? Imagine that. We're getting ready to go to war. We have got this fortified city in front of us, and God says, I want you to march around at one time. And then go home. Can you imagine what the people of Jericho were thinking? They're up there on the walls ready to fight. And here the children of Israel, they march around one time and then they leave. They do that for 7 days or 6 days. And on the seventh day, they march around it seven times. And then God says, I want you to do that seven times. On the seventh time, I want you to blow the trumpets. And I want you to shout. Can you imagine being there in Jericho? And you got the children of Israel has got, God, you told us some weird things before, but this is strange. But you've got us through all of it, so we're going to do this. How much strength and courage did it take for them to be obedient and do what God told them to do? And then when they marched around it that seventh time and they blew the trumpet and they shouted, what happened to the walls of Jericho? It fell down. And it just didn't fall down. It fell down flat and opened up the entire city. The people of Jericho, their faith, their courage, their strength was in the walls of that city. And what did God do? All except for one part. There was one part that stood because Rahab had faith in God and she asked the spies, please remember me and my family. And they told her, hang a scarlet rope out your window and you will be saved. Can you imagine that? The entire wall's fallen down except one little section. That scarlet rope was still standing. A lot of times, God does not make sense to us. What God wants to do and how God works, it does not make sense to us. But I hate to break it to you. We do not have to understand it. We just have to have the courage to obey it. And that courage in itself comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from God Almighty because we can't do it on our own. Our confidence is in God and God alone. Condition number two, do according to all the law. Verse 7, the second part of that says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. And then also in verse 8, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. God's word and our commitment to it will be the pillars supporting our success. You may say, wait a second, Artie, this is the Old Testament. We don't have to go by the law anymore. No. But we need to know about the law because everything that Jesus teaches is a completion of what is found in the Old Testament law. Even in the Great Commission, there is a part. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then it tells us to do what in making those disciples? Teaching them to do what? Obey all I have commanded you. So this is not just an Old Testament thing. It is also a New Testament principle that we must obey God's word. All of it. Not pick and choose what we want to accept, Well, this part, I don't agree with this part because this makes me feel uncomfortable, so I'm just going to get rid of it. No. We can't do that, people. If we can get rid of one piece, we might as well get rid of all of it because it's not worth the paper it's written on. That is honest. God says, obey all I have commanded. Don't let any of this pass away. Be careful that you obey all of it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't go away from it. Stay on it. Jesus says, that narrow is the way, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Yes, we have to be narrow-minded. We do. We have to be narrow-minded and focused on the narrow way. We have to be obedient. Condition three is God's word in speech, thought, and action. Look at verse 8 again. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Don't just read God's word. We must talk about it. We must think about it. And above all, we must live it. In other words, we must walk the talk. You guys remember that old song, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day? That old country song. Well, that's the truth. Too many times we have people saying one thing on Sunday and living a totally different thing Monday through Saturday. I know because I used to do it. That's not the way to lead. That's not true. That's not solid. If we say we believe it on Sunday, we better let it be shown through the way we live Monday through Saturday. Because if you only believe it on Sunday, guess what? You're not believing it enough. Because you're not thinking about it. You're not praying about it. You're not living it out in front of those that need to see it. That is a condition for our victory. Is that we have to live it out. We have to think about it. We have to have it on our lips. We don't need to forget about it and go on doing it the way we want. We need to constantly be thinking about God's word and having it permeate our life. Now, victory is within our reach. Joshua 1:7. So that you may have success wherever you go. And then in verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. God's word lived out in our life is a guarantee of Christian victory. It is not a promise of life without problems, though. A lot of times we think that. We think, well, in fact, I've been asked this question, why do bad things happen to good people? There is one answer to that. Why do bad things happen to good people? That is the effect of sin in our world. It's not that somebody has done something or whatever. That's just the effect of sin on our world. But we think that if we do this and we do that, and we trust in God. And in fact, I have actually known of somebody that had cancer. And their pastor told them they had cancer because of sin in their life. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stand on the word of God, I'm going to tell you that's bull. When the disciples brought that person, that cripple, to God, and they asked, who sinned, him or his parents? What did Jesus say? Nobody sinned. He has been made this way so that God may be glorified. And I think about Tara. Never heard anything. She was deaf in the womb. But she will tell you the first voice she's going to get to hear is Jesus's. Because we deal with things doesn't mean that we are dealing with sin in our own lives. Sometimes, yes, but that is not always the case. The reason that we deal with things in our life is because the result of the sinful nature in the world, but it is that God may be glorified in our lives, that we learn to trust in Him. But we get it backwards. Sometimes we think we're doing everything right and something bad happens. And what happens to that? We say, well, this is not true. We are not promised things that will be great. Prosperity gospel says you do what God says. You will be rich. You will get everything that you want. But Jesus says, no man is greater than his master. I don't even have a place to sleep. They're going to persecute me. They're going to persecute you. You're going to deal with issues. I like what Mark Lowry says. Mark Lowry used to sing with the Gaither Vocal Band. He's also a Christian comedian. Mark Lowry says that the Bible says that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. What is life? We tell teenagers, our kids, life is not fair. Life is full of ups and downs, right? So you take that scripture that Mark Lowry quoted for truth and at its word, and it says that God came to give you life, ups and downs. But Jesus says, I didn't just come to give you life, but I came to give you life more abundantly. Okay? Bigger ups and bigger downs. All of which is meant to make us stronger. Make us more like Christ. And then our final guarantee. And I want to show you some verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Joshua 1:9. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, that's great. He's going to be with Joshua and the children of Israel, and they're going to go through all this stuff, and God's going to be with them. That's awesome. Well, how does it pertain to us now? Matthew 28:20. The last part of the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. God promised a long time ago that if we seek Him and we find Him, He will never leave us or forsake us. If we belong to Him, He's going to keep us. Jesus fulfilled that promise, and He is still keeping that promise today. Jesus tells us that if I will never ask you to do something, I will never ask you to go somewhere, I will never send you somewhere without being with you to accomplish it. And in fact, He says right here in Acts 1:8, the source of our power and our strength and our courage is the Holy Spirit within us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So, church, we need to stop saying, well, we can't do this, or I can't talk to somebody about Jesus. Yes, you can. Why? Because if you are a born-again child of God, Jesus Christ has saved you through His blood, and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the power to do whatever it is God has asked you to do. That is how we have victory. It's not in our own power. It's not in our own abilities. It's not in our own knowledge. But our victory comes through God and the power of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is where it comes from. And that is how we have victory. We don't measure victory the same way. Victory is not owning a jet and a mansion and multiple cars, being able to live a lavish lifestyle. That is not victory. Yes, that's victory in the eyes of the world. But that's not how God measures victory. Would you say that the disciples and the apostle were victorious? Would anybody say they were? The apostle Paul died 1,000 years ago. But he wrote most of the New Testament. Countless people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, not only through His ministry, but through what He wrote. But he was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. Peter was crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. All of the disciples and the apostles were killed except for one, John. But all of them, through their ministry and through their writing, countless people have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. According to the world's viewpoint, they didn't live a victorious life because they all died paupers. But you look at it the way God looks at it, and they were champions because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to do something that we've not done in quite a while. I'm going to ask Sandra and Joanne to come up, and I want us to sing one verse of victory in Jesus. If you have something that you have to get right with God, you can do it where you are, or you can come up and spread out across the altar. If you need to talk to me, I'll put my mask on and you can come talk to me. But we're going to sing one verse of victory in Jesus before I turn in the service and turn it over to David for our business meeting. But if God is talking to you, don't leave here today without getting that taken care of. Trust Him to give you victory in this life.
Would you stand as we sing number 426, Victory in Jesus?
Groaning.
have a seat. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you.